This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, the SportsNap Radio Network. We are going back to 2008 on a throwback Thursday. Going back to the Beijing Olympics on this date, Michael Phelps winning 3 gold medals, setting world records in each of those events. He would win 8 overall, dominated the Olympics. He was a national icon before, and then he just solidified it in the Beijing Olympics. And then his career, Olympic career, ended on the same date, on this date in 2016. He competed at Rio and called it an Olympic career and wrapped it up there. So it kind of bookends on a throwback Thursday Michael Phelps' story. One of the more interesting athletes that we talked about this morning because of his sort of the national presence that he has, meaning we were all in agreement. We were all kind of rooting for him, and we don't usually get that. The one other athlete I could think about, well, not really athlete, but moment, was when Landon Donovan scored the goal in the World Cup. We just don't get to do it. I wish we could do it more. It's just not our nature in sports. We we're very city oriented. We kind of like it that way. We don't have a lot of national things except for the Olympics, except for some international competition where we all can get really excited about it. But we do have events that go on around the world. We do have skiing championships and all sorts of track and field events. But the reason that we don't really gravitate towards them on a consistent basis is because they're not on the huge stage to a full sports calendar. Whereas the Olympics, because it takes place once every 4 years, and because it's the big international sporting event in the summer or in the winter, whenever it may be, it dominates the news and it dominates the television and it dominates, you know, pretty much everybody who's interested in sports, what they're rooting for at that particular time. So it allows the sort of, you know, sort of image to go on of an athlete doing particularly well and then capitalizing on it. And no better example of that was Phelps. Every 4 years, from the time he started going to the Olympics to the time he wrapped it up 4 years ago in Athens, we were rooting for him because it was the most phenomenal thing we saw in the pool. But this is the Throwback Thursday that we're celebrating the 3 gold medals and the 3 world championships. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. We'll also talk about what the Big Ten was thinking in canceling its season. It's all coming up this hour. It is Wake Up Call as we continue on the SportsMap Radio Network.
At the SportsMap Radio Network, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code SportsMapRadio for 20% off. Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots. Sustained energy without the sugar, jitters, or crash. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it is a Throwback Thursday, Good, Bad, and the Dumb edition. Also coming up this hour, Nathan Baird will join us, Cleveland.com, and he also does a podcast on Ohio State. That is coming up at 40 past the hour. We'll talk about the Big Ten. But because it's both a Throwback Thursday and a Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, let's get the good of the day.
And since it was a Throwback Thursday, I decided to have 2 goods of the day.
Yes.
And I'm going to talk about 2 pitchers.
All right, I love
it. Let's just talk about it real quick because, you know, he's a fan favorite of ours. He's a hero to us. Joe Kelly had his suspension reduced from 8 games down to 5.
Good.
So thank God for that. Maybe baseball heads realize that he didn't actually hit anybody.
No.
And 6 games might have been enough. Maybe if that was in the wake of what happened with Laureano.
And we actually made the comment that he actually was doing us doing baseball a favor.
Yes.
By doing something that made us talk about baseball rather than the virus in baseball.
You know, it's kind of like McGuire and Sosa in 98. We got to thank them.
Yeah.
Not punish them.
Thank them. Yeah.
But the other good of the day, and I absolutely loved, is Zach Greinke took the mound yesterday for the Astros against the Giants. He pitched really well. But did you know that he was tipping his pitches?
Was he?
Yeah, listen to this.
Brooks Raley in the pen.
Oh, my. Everybody knows what sign they're going with now.
This is incredible.
He told everybody what signs they're going with.
Fantastic.
So he's just yelling out his signs, yelling at what he's going to pitch. He just
That's awesome.
He only gave up one run and 6-plus innings of work with 7 strikeouts.
That's even better. Like, I'm telling you what's coming, and you still can't hit it.
That's a bold move, right?
That's a bold move. Way to go, Zach Greinke. That's fantastic. So,
I mean, how bad are the Giants then?
Yeah, right? No doubt.
If you know, like, hey, I'm throwing a fastball, I'm throwing a curveball, it's coming right here. Nope, right, I'm putting it right here. You know exactly where it's coming, and you still can only muster up one run.
I mean,
he gave up 7 hits, but, you know, only one run.
Weren't we all led to believe in Bull Durham that if you know what pitch is coming, you get a free steak because you're going to hit it out of the ballpark?
Yes.
Remember when Crash Davis told that batter because Newt was giving him, was debating about the pitches, and he finally just told the batter what was coming?
Nah, I want to throw heat.
It's all right, fine. Fastball, he gets it out of the park. That's what we were all led to believe. So Zach Greinke doing this and the Giants still can't score off of him is fantastic.
Still couldn't do it. Still couldn't
handle
it.
All right. That, you know what? Those are two goods. You know, it's kind of a theme today because I was talking about how baseball, there's some more good news out of baseball than bad news.
Yes.
These are two really fun stories for baseball.
Yeah. We need Joe Kelly back, and I just love the fact that a pitcher can go up on the mound, tell you what's coming, and still dominate you.
And all of you out there, I'm warning you now because of what we did to Charlie Blackmon, whose 15-game hit streak come to an end. When we come back tomorrow, baseball probably have 20 teams that are out for a coronavirus outbreak.
That's the jinx ability on this show.
You
just said it out loud.
I was so excited about Charlie Blackmon's hit streak.
No, you could be excited about.
I said yesterday, this is great. You should watch this guy. He's got a 15-game hit streak. He's batting .500. He started the season 0-9. He's hitting everything he sees. This is great. What does he do yesterday? 0-4. The only time I speak about the man, and then he goes 0-4. So here I am praising baseball for getting games under their belt, two teams affected by the virus instead of 10, and I'm hoping that I don't jinx baseball now. So that those of you out there going, no, thanks, Tony, because now you said how great baseball was going, the whole season shut down. I don't want that. I want baseball to continue on what it's doing right now. All right, so what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that apparently Detroit does not think of Barry Sanders as a beloved treasure.
They don't?
No. And I'll give you two incidences, okay?
Okay.
Remember the one in the past when Garth Brooks showed up, I believe, to a Pistons game?
Yes.
Wearing a 20 Sanders jersey and people were up in arms because they hated the fact that Garth Brooks was being political?
They thought he was promoting Bernie Sanders for the 2020 election.
Yes.
Rather than Barry Sanders wearing the number 20. Who,
I mean, we would say is probably the greatest football player ever to put on a Lions uniform, right?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
No, yes. That answer is yes.
Well, recently they found hundreds of fan mail stored away, stashed away in a box, kept out of sight. It's been there for 10-plus years, all addressed to Barry Sanders.
Where were these located?
I believe in a post office.
The post office?
Let me find out exactly. I can't.
Who had all of this fan mail that they couldn't get to Barry Sanders? You know, like, don't you think if you just wrote, like, if you were a kid and you're like, I'm going to write Barry Sanders, and you just put Barry Sanders on it and put a stamp, somebody within the postal system would go, I know exactly where to take this. We're going to take it to Detroit.
No, it was inside a storage closet at the team's practice facility in Allen Park.
Well, that's even worse. That means somebody at the team had it and decided not to give it to him.
Yeah.
Now, was that by Barry Sanders' request, or he's like, I get too much of this, I don't want to read it all?
No.
Get rid of him.
Sanders was surprised.
Was he like, wow, really? People loved me that much, and you kept it from me all these years? See, what Barry Sanders should do is, like, now that he's in retirement, he should write all of these people. Dear Joe, I'm really sorry I didn't get this 20 years ago, but whenever they wrote him.
It's a mystery, I guess, that how they ended up in that storage closet. But Sanders is aware of it now. He figured he was going to be a lot of hate mail because of the way he retired from the team, but it ended up it's not hate mail.
Wait, hold on. I got an idea now. Peyton Place.
He needs to go there, right?
Right. Peyton Manning, just take
four letters. Just randomly select four letters and then see if you could find the people that wrote them and then go and have Barry Sanders visit them. Just a whole episode of Barry Sanders visiting people who wrote to him whenever it was.
That's,
maybe as a kid, maybe
God,
as a young adult.
That's a fantastic idea. Peyton, right? you better do this.
Peyton, you really ought to do this. Just randomly select four of them. I mean, or read them and find the four best ones. Whatever. It's up to you. It's your show.
Yeah, but they're all coming from kids, from military folks who were overseas, you know, people who just wanted to say thank you, Barry.
Yeah.
Then Barry never got them.
And then wouldn't it be great if then late, like during the episode, like Barry overstays his welcome? Like he visits like some kid who wrote him when he was like 22 years ago, right? And the guy's 30 and Barry Sanders comes to the house. He's like hanging out with the guy. And you just create the little bit of like, okay, all right, there's nothing to do. What do you want to do? You want to hang out? Can I mow your lawn? You're like, all right, Barry Sanders is mowing my lawn. Like Peyton's got a humor to these things. You could do a little bit of that. I think it's a great idea. I think Peyton Manning should be on board to do this.
I love that idea. See, what you just did right there is you turned a bad into a good.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, that's what we need in this world. We need
good
turning
morning
bad
already.
And good. Yes.
Look at me. Look at me.
Well,
look
see
me.
If you can help out with this. The
all
dumb
right, this
of the
is
day.
The dumb of the day.
The NBA bubble. They are flirting with the idea, or maybe going all the way with the idea of allowing guests to be introduced into the bubble when playoff time comes.
When we say guests.
There are
exactly
certain rules.
What exactly are we talking about?
Exactly what I just said. They're going to allow guests into the bubble.
Is guests loosely defined?
Not so loosely. First of all, there is one rule, if I remember correctly, couldn't have anyone, no children over the height of like 34 inches.
Okay. All right.
So my son, who just turned four, is 36 inches to kind of give you a ballpark of what age range we're talking about. So the kids that would be allowed in are younger than four.
Okay. But if you're five and you're 40 inches,
if you're
you can't
LeBron's
come in.
Kids, you're not allowed to come to the
okay.
bubble.
All right. So what if you are.
I think the reason why for that, I think, is because they're just assuring that. No NBA player is going to want their kids there because you don't want a two-year-old to come to your hotel room.
Not really. What if you had 100,000 Instagram followers and you don't do anything?
Well,
you just have pictures.
You just have
that
pictures.
That individual,
you have to have. I'm going to use this line from Top Gun. Okay. Remember the bet when they were in the bar?
Yes.
And Goose lays down the bet to Maverick, and he says you have to have carnal knowledge of a woman this time. So, yes, you have to know this person. You have to be able to prove that you have seen this person, hung out with this person, talked to this person outside of social media.
So she's my cousin isn't going to work out, right? Like, it's not
right.
Gonna, yeah, she's my my mother's sister's niece.
Yes, that's not going to work out.
That's not going to work. All right.
And you can't just find, hot. I mean, actually what the NBA is trying to do is deter Instagram models from even popping up because they're just doing it for the likes.
Jack Flaherty of the Cardinals got in trouble for this. There's reports were that he flew an Instagram model to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Hung out with her. And next, we still haven't played Cardinals baseball in 2.5 weeks. So I'm sure Adam Silver is like, no Instagram models. Right. Family only or deep friends. Yeah. No, it makes sense. But I don't know how you're going to do this. Players are smart, man. They'll figure out. They're going to find a way.
I mean, it's like what Stephen A. Smith just said, too, yesterday. He thinks the NBA should find a way to have conjugal visits.
like they're in prison.
Yeah.
I knew it. I knew eventually the prison, like they were going to reference this to some sort of prison.
Keeping them locked up in a 5-star
exactly.
resort hotel.
Exactly.
What can they do for fun? They only have a pool. They can only golf.
That's funny. Really funny.
So yeah, I'm curious to see how it's going to happen, how it's going to go down. I mean, obviously for some, like, if you have a significant other, you invite your wife. That makes a lot of sense. Or maybe you're inviting your brother. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But no, what's his name? I can't. The Clippers guy who ran off to get wings?
Oh, yeah, Lou Williams.
Lou Williams. I mean, yeah. he can't invite any employee of Magic City.
Not at all. Not at all. Oh, my God. All right, that's the good, the bad, the dumb. Hey, one of the things I have loved, you get up in the morning, especially when you stay up late and you got to get up in the morning. I need an energy, and I need an energy shot. Just a single serving of Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots gives me the sustained energy I need to not only do this show, but everything that I have to do in the nighttime to get ready for this show. That's why Keto Energy Shots consistently get 5-star reviews from everybody, including me. The secret to Keto Energy Shots is the patented all-natural ingredient, DBHP. This powerful ingredient revs up your metabolism, turns your body into a fat-burning machine in only minutes. Feel energized while shredding unwanted pounds. It works for me. It'll work for you. Real Ketones from Keto Energy Shots. It's a Throwback Thursday. It is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us on this date. Michael Phelps won 3 gold medals in Beijing, setting world records. Lady Gaga, 2008. Goodness, these are good musics. These are bringing back some memories. 2008 was a weird year for me. It started off really good. By the end, it wasn't so hot. So, Throwback Thursday. Again, taking us back to the Olympics in Beijing and Michael Phelps. It's a good one. This is fun. We do the Throwback Thursday in sports, and sometimes we do something completely different, but Michael Phelps is a good memory.
No, it's one of those things because, I mean, we would be watching the Olympics, or we would have been talking about the Olympics probably now, right?
Yeah.
I would imagine, well, maybe it would be wrapping up in August.
I grew up, much like you, a lot of us who are, you know, in our 40s, grew up during a time where the Olympics, the Cold War was so dominant in the Olympics, right? Like, I was just old enough to remember
the
United States boycotting the Moscow Games in 80.
Yeah, I don't remember that one, but I remember 84.
But 84 was weird because I was really observant at that point. I was reading magazines in the newspaper and watching, you know, the news and processing all of what was going on. And I remember leading up to the LA Games, it felt like every day another Eastern Bloc country was pulling out. Right? Like Czechoslovakia is not coming. And Hungary's not coming. Soviets, they announced they were coming like from day one, I think. I mean, they were like, we're turning the favor. We're not going. And so the Olympic Games in Los Angeles didn't have your normal Eastern Bloc athletes who dominate certain games. And then 88, it was in South Korea, and it was kind of back to normal. And then it was kind of moved on from there. But the Olympics, I remember like ABC, one of the reasons Wide World of Sports was such a big program was because it did Olympic level sports. I mean, it did camber tossing, you know, and log rolling and things like that. But it also that was the only place you could go to get skiing world championships or track and field world championships or bobsledding or other, you know, the Olympic sports that went on when the Olympics weren't going on. And it was a way for ABC to get ready for their coverage of the Olympic Games, because they would send people around the world and they would cover these events so that when they would all get to wherever they were going, you know, winter games or summer games, everybody in ABC would be on the same page as to who's who in this particular sport. Because there are sports where the United States isn't a presence at all. You know, I don't think we ever won a gold or a medal in biathlon, right, or whatever. But ABC had to know who was who in that sport or whatever it was in any summer games. But it is kind of weird that, you know, here, you know, the virus took so much away from us that we did reach a... You know, we should be talking about the Olympics at this point in Tokyo. I don't know if we're going to have the Olympics next year. It feels weird to say that, but it's true.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. You know, we have a full year to, you're almost a year and a half of this. I think about that too. It's like, God, what if we end up having to postpone it again? Then we just have to not have it, right? Or are we going to have winter games and summer games in the same year with the World Cup and... You know, that's just too much. That's too much American pride that America can't handle at one time.
On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Josh on Twitter, I got a solution to baseball's problem. All we have to do is structure it like the Little League World Series and have a huge tournament, or even like the NCAA tournament and then have the World Series. You know what? It feels like it's looking like that, Josh. I mean, they've got, 14 teams now in the playoffs? that are going to the playoffs. So maybe not everybody, but certainly close enough to a big tournament structure like that. How's the Little League World Series work? It's like a double elimination, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get to Williamsport and then you got to, you know, you lose twice and you're out. And then
right.
kind of structure it that way. College World Series is like that too.
But could they, if they were going to do that, I would say they'd probably be better off going like in a World Cup style tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Why don't they do it like they could do it like the College World Series because we're playing in regions, you know, West and Central and East. And that's what they kind of do in the College World Series. They have like regionals and then whoever comes out of the regional goes to Omaha. And so you have eight super regionals and then those winners go to Omaha. You could do it where like, we're going to have a playoffs, but two teams are coming out of each region.
Well, I mean, and you know, if you think about it, baseball is flirting with the bubble for the playoffs. Why can't we send it to Omaha?
Yeah, why not, right? Boost to the Omaha economy.
Are those fields too small?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, I would say college players probably playing at that level are probably playing on similar Major League Baseball fields.
I would look into that, but I don't know. I mean, you know, college kids get to use the aluminum bat, right?
And yeah.
But so, I mean, these are good baseball players that, I mean, I'm sure the ballpark is good dimensionally sized for what they're doing compared to Major League Baseball. I don't know. That's a good question. Michael on Twitter, Chris Davis's 110-yard run back of the failed field goal from Alabama-Auburn in 2013 will always live long in Auburn lore. My nephew and his cousin are attending Auburn this year and still watch YouTube videos of that play. I don't go to Auburn. I didn't go to Auburn, and I still watch YouTube videos of that play. I'm still amazed at that play. I still watch that. I think it's unfortunate that the play is so long because you know how Christian Leitner's shot becomes like the dun 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 dun, and they show it, and every year you relive it. Like the SEC on CBS, that should be one of the plays that is shown every year until the end of time, right? Like 50 years from now, they should still be showing this amazing ending to this game. And I don't, you know, listen, if you're an Alabama fan, I know it's painful, but sometimes you got to live with it. It's sports. It's like for me who had no dog in the fight, I couldn't believe what I was watching. I was like, are you kidding me? This kid's going to run back a missed field goal for a touchdown to not only win this game, but Alabama can't play for the national championship anymore. Seriously, like that's even a better example of like one moment defines you and that's it. You are in now living in infamy in that college town forever and ever and ever. And you never have to worry about paying for a drink or a meal ever again. You could actually make a living telling that story to patrons of your sports bar. Open up a sports bar, and the thing is that he'll tell you that story every night of the week. He'll walk around and go, well, I went back there. I didn't know if I could catch it or not, but the ball was coming down, and I cradled it in, and I started running. And I went this way, and I went that way, and then I saw an opening. He could tell the same story every day for years and years and years. That's the way we like it, right? Because that's what college sports. That's the fanatical nature of college athletics. Nathan Baird is going to join us from Cleveland.com in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk about the Big Ten. I'm still at kind of confused about not only how this went down, but it's still a weird story how it was this Sunday, the MAC had canceled football, and then all the Power Five conferences were going to have this emergency meeting, and then there was a rumor that the Big Ten was going to shut down, then it was crushed, and then the voices started being heard, like coaches and players going, we want to play, but then the Big Ten did it anyway, and now here we are, and then Scott Frost at Nebraska is like, we'll play games on our own, forget it. Ryan Day toyed with the idea, but now is settling into the idea of a spring schedule. What about the Big Ten Network? So there's a lot of questions around that conference, and we'll get to Nathan Baird coming up. Cleveland.com. He also hosts a podcast on the Buckeyes, so he's got some insight into what's going on at Ohio State. It was ranked second in the preseason coaches poll, and their season, fall season, has come to an end. That's coming up next as Wake Up Call continues on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Throwback Thursday. today on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, Throwback Thursday 2008, taking you back to on this date, Michael Phelps wins 3 gold medals in world record fashion in Beijing. Interesting week for the Big Ten, to say the least. So historical in that nature, as they have postponed the football season, possibly to the spring. But it was an interesting couple of days how the news cycle went. Nathan Baer joins us. Cleveland.com also hosts a podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. How are you, Nathan?
Doing good, man. How's it going?
Good. Nathan, our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. So given that the nature of the news cycle, which was they were going to, there was an early report they were canceling it, then the news kind of went back to nothing, and then they finally did postpone the season. How surprising was it when it became official?
Well, I can't say it was really surprising or certainly not shocking. I think I had at that point sort of talked myself into the fact that this was still going to get delayed. As we later learned, that's what Ohio State was kind of planning to vote to do, was not make a decision yet, you know, push things back, push the start of the season back. They had built in a few idle weeks into the schedule that they released, which allowed them to kind of fold things back and not interrupt what their plan was too much and just buy themselves more time. And I thought that's what they would do, but apparently what they saw in the science was too troublesome, and they felt they had to pull the plug completely.
So the time period from the initial report that came out early in the week that said they were postponing the season to then the voices started to come out from coaches and players to then finally saying the announcement, how much of the delay was listening to the voices? Did they rethink this? Was there a reconsideration given the outcry that the coaches and players were using social media to sort of bring their opinion to light?
We're still trying to, I guess, assess that. I think everybody in the league is trying to get a grip on what kind of happened in that room or those rooms, or I guess technically they're not rooms right now, chat rooms. It's almost just what they're doing virtually with those meetings. And I think that's going to kind of be the fascinating thing. Even before the decision came down, I kind of felt like the process that was unfolding was maybe going to ultimately be as important as whatever decision they made, because I think it's going to tell us a lot about kind of what the makeup of the Big Ten is right now and how this league operates in some ways. And I think it was a pretty divided group. I don't know if the sort of public outcry, the social media outcry of players and coaches was making a huge difference. I think it probably was something that at each individual school, it was, you know, those things were probably working their way up the channels, the coach and you know, passing his sentiments and the player sentiments up to the AD, who then in turn passes that up to the president or chancellor. I'm sure that happens. But I don't know how much the public outcry was making an impact, just because these are pretty serious, sober people. And I think all along, you know, the number one thing that, whether it's Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, whether it's been Ohio State administration and coaches here, or I think whether it's been, you know, the administration level, everyone has been really adamant that what is supposed to guide this decision is just the science, just pure science. You know, if you listen to the medical experts and do what they say. And it was pretty clear, certainly from what we saw from the Pac-12, because they were much more transparent and released some details of what their medical people were saying, but also apparently from the Big Ten, those medical people were telling them they just could not play football.
That information that was released, was it more locally based science, meaning in Big Ten country we're going to have a problem, or was it national news that other conferences should be paying attention to?
Well, like I said, the Big Ten actually still hasn't released that. They've been a little bit more vague. They've talked about, you know, what the medical experts have told them. They have talked about, you know, some kind of emerging data over the past, you know, week leading up to that vote. I think, you know, things like myocarditis were probably a factor there. There'd been some national reporting that'd come out from Sports Illustrated, from ESPN, from CBS that I think had troubled the administrators about that kind of the heart problems that are possibly associated with COVID-19 and what that could mean for athletes. But the Big Ten has not really specified with detail what exactly sort of changed, for lack of a better term, from in those 6 days, that from the time where they gave everybody the green light to come back to practice and then shut it down completely. That was a pretty quick turnaround. There was more transparency from the Pac-12, and I think that basically the same factors probably crossed over a little bit. That there are pockets of the country, and Ohio is one of them, that are in a zone of infection still from COVID-19, where, you know, experts say you have to test daily, where there are a lot of other, like, protocols and recommendations that I think make it even more difficult to try to put a team out on the field right now, just because of what is expected relative to the rate of infection that they're still finding.
Nathan, I'm going to ask you to speculate a little bit. Do you think there is a future fallout on this decision from student athletes who look at this decision and say, at a time where we wanted it, want a voice, you didn't listen to our voice?
I think perhaps. I think the one thing we all have to remember right now is that I think everybody around the country, kind of to go back to your last question, is probably looking at relatively the same medical data. I think people are just balancing it differently in terms of the administration, the leadership from conference to conference. And the Big Ten and the Pac-12, they saw what they saw and said there wasn't any reason to try to keep going forward, especially not to move towards the next stage, the contact stage. There are other conferences that have not gotten to that point, but they also don't have to get to contact as fast because their seasons don't start quite as soon. So as we get towards when those conferences have to make a decision about having contact in practice, that may be where they have to make similar decisions. But kind of what I think more to the heart of what you're asking, yeah, I think that this is just going to be one more thing that pushes us towards some sort of representation for athletics. I think it's easy to say, it's easy to say a voice, because I think you can kind of give lip service, the administrators, the leadership of whether it's at the local level or at the conference level, can say, okay, well, you have a voice, we hear what you say, but unless you're sitting at the table, unless you're actually involved in the decision, that you don't really have a voice. It doesn't mean the same thing. I think we're going to look back someday at kind of this whole summer as in a number of ways, whether it's the social justice issues, whether it's name, image, and likeness, whether it's this. I think all of that is pushing us towards athletes having some sort of real representation. I don't know how fast we get there, and I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. There has been some good reporting and opinion out there about why a true union doesn't really work based on U.S. labor laws, but I think you're going to see some sort of change, because I think players, it is sort of, we've already seen some reaction on social media that they don't feel like, they feel like if this was going to happen, if things were going to be called off this completely, that they should have been more integrally involved in the process.
It may be too early to ask this, given that the news is pretty fresh, and I think people are still processing what no fall football means. But what is the buzz about the possibility of spring football and what that might look like for the conference?
So I've been a pretty big skeptic of the spring idea from the beginning, just because the idea of, you know, in like March and April, the idea of playing a season, even if it's a smaller season, that would mean you'd have to come back in the fall with also another small season in the fall, and maybe teams would be better off financially to come back in the fall with a full season especially if you got to have a full season of spectators, and where you may still not have any going into the spring. I will say Ryan Day, the Ohio State coach, came out yesterday and was kind of hammering home the concept of having a season that I wouldn't call it a spring season. I'd call it a winter season that would start in January. You play maybe 8 games in January and February, and then you would come back again in the fall and probably still have to cut a couple of non-conference games off in the fall. But maybe if you started early enough, it allows the players who have NFL futures to still have some kind of a season and then go off to the NFL. It would allow all players to maybe have enough recovery time between the end of that season and the start of a smaller fall season, to where you wouldn't be overly taxing someone with just the number of reps and, I guess, more importantly, collisions that you're exposing them to. So I think that may have some traction. I think that may be the model that the Big Ten sort of starts working toward putting together whenever they start to come up with a plan. But they sort of need a plan pretty soon because the players do have a lot of decisions to make. Guys who want to go off to the NFL if they're going to play, and maybe players who want to look for somewhere else to play. I think they need to know exactly what's in front of them so they can make an informed decision.
Nathan Baird again, Cleveland.com, and a hosting of a Buckeye podcast. Really appreciate your time. Very interesting stuff. And I know it's been a busy couple of days for you. Thank you for your time.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Again, Nathan Baird joining us on Progressive Guest Line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. All right. Processing some of the things he said of what went on in the conference coming up, including that voice that was dismissed. But what would spring football also look like? We'll discuss that coming up next on Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, Throwback Thursday 2008. This is Coldplay, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Chris Martin and Coldplay.
This is their anthem, I guess, right?
This was a catchy tune.
It was.
I kind of forgot about it. But I remember this was like the big hit of the summer.
Year.
It played all over the place.
Well, a
year. But I remember, like the summer.
Yeah.
Every radio station felt like it was playing this over and over again. Michael Phelps winning 3 gold medals in Beijing on a Throwback Thursday.
Not just 3 gold medals.
3 world records. That's right. 3 world records. That's why we made it so special today. Hey, one of the big changes we're all dealing with is wearing masks. Not all offer the same protection. You need one that's breathable, and you need one that gives you the 3-layer comfort and protects you, and that's why I use Boomer Naturals. They come in sizes for adults, teens, and children, and they're in stock now, and they'll ship to you fast. One of the reasons I like Boomer Natural face masks is, one, they're breathable, because I need that. Again, I had some masks that just weren't that way. Also, the Nano Silver technology woven into the fabric can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to your nose and mouth. That's what we want right now. Boomer also offers those popular Nano Silver neck gaiters. So order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use the promo code Tony. Save 20%. That's promo code Tony at BoomerNaturals.com. And you can get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals.com. Another great thing, they donate one face cover for every order to nonprofits and charities, helping tens of thousands of Americans in need. I love that. All right, so Nathan Baird, Cleveland.com, brought some interesting points on the Big Ten. One of the questions I'm trying to get at, and he said, look, they didn't release a lot of information in terms of their medical data. There is two ways that this can be looked at in terms of the Big Ten canceling and the Pac-12 as well. But the Big Ten started this is by saying, we've looked at everything, the national data. We don't think any of you are going to play football this fall. Any of you should be playing no matter where you are. Or it could be, look, where we are in Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, even far out there in New Jersey with Rutgers, we can't play. You know, just our region. Hey, Pac-12, Big 12, ACC, you want to go at it in your region and area showing a decline, God bless you. But right here where we are, we just got too many colleges in the risk zone and we can't do it. We don't know what kind of statement they're making with this postponement and cancellation. But again, think about the ramifications of this. Think about where we're heading. As Ron and I were talking about this during the break, we are heading to possible some sort of unionization. I know the terminology is weird because they're not technically employees. So maybe it's some other association where the terminology is, but the concept is the same, right?
Yeah.
Just representation at some level just, for college athletes.
Just someone looking out for them.
Right.
I think,
right.
I mean, because we've had, in years past, there's always been like one issue, two issues. This year, we've had three major issues.
That's right.
Happening at the same time.
And I think for what happened here with the cancellation of this, you know, the season, the postponement of the season to possibly spring. And I'm with Nathan, by the way. I'm highly doubtful spring football is going to happen for these conferences.
I don't know how you do it.
I don't either. Maybe it's too early in the game, Ron. Maybe we need like a couple of months where somebody goes, okay, now that we've calmed down from not having fall football, here's the actual plan.
But one thing we do know, the NFL's not pushing back their draft.
Right. No, they're not.
They were able to. They held it the same way, same time that they planned on all year long. They did it virtually, and it worked.
Yeah, that's right. It did work. I know Jeff Brohm at Purdue has put together some sort of plan for spring football that he's got it, you know, laid out. But again, it's not official. It's just his idea of how it should work. Everyone's going to have theirs. So there are plans that are floating out there in cyberland that, but until I see it, I'm not going to believe it. I don't know what to make of spring football. I'll just have to, again, if you put it off, great. If you don't, which is what I expect. All right. Whatever. But I think we'll look back on 2020 into the way college athletics is done and the business of it. And this has exposed a lot of that. And it is, listen, we've always known it's kind of a weird business. We know that it's money oriented and a lot of people get screwed in it. And it relies on a fan base that's always willing to turn the other eye and ear to the problems of college athletics. This has opened that up. It's opened up the dialogue. Maybe we look back and say, well, the virus was bad and it was an awful time to live through. But here are the things that came out of it. And a different way we do college athletics, not tearing it down to the nub, but just doing it differently with a bigger voice of the players. Maybe that's what happens. Jake Asman Show coming up next. Thanks to all of you and Ron Culver as well as we continue along on the Sports Map Radio Network. Have a good Thursday.